Hey team, welcome to this podcast. This is our very first one. This is just to introduce ourselves. I'm Stefan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we're going to be talking about what we'd like to cover for the next 6 months. I'm sure you guys have been anticipating what we'll be doing. So we're going to cover that and get you guys familiar with where we want to be.
Perfect. So I think the first thing that we need to do is to sort of introduce the educational team here at the Trust. As you're all aware, Stefan has recently been hired as the clinical educator, which is a position that that I think is going to be very beneficial for the group. So, Steph, why don't you take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, yep. I've been a paramedic with St. John Ambulance for 16 years. Been a lifeguard with Karakara Surf Club for about 24 years. So, yeah, my roles have been varied within St. John education. And been a casual here, so I'm excited to join a team full time. So that's me. What about yourself, Andrew? You're a new kid on the block. What's your background?
I'm a Canadian emergency medicine trainee. I'm here to do a 9-month fellowship, both clinical and academic. And my academic role is to help Stefan develop this pre-hospital critical care simulation-based education curriculum. We also have joining us on the team Dr. Chris Duncan. He's an Australasian fellow, again, an emergency medicine trainee. And we're very lucky to have him because he's got quite a bit of experience in simulation education.
Yep. So we also have Chris Denny and Barry Watkin. They'll be supporting us in these endeavors. And hopefully we'll take it places where we never thought we'd go before.
So, Steph, there's a lot of exciting things happening around this place lately, especially, you know, the launch of the new rapid response vehicle and bringing sort of whole blood online. And, of course, you've just been hired as the new clinical educator. I was wondering if you could take a few minutes to tell us about your position and your educational direction for the Trust.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, look, the hiring me, for me, was the most exciting bit. I'm really excited to be part of the team. I think we provide excellent service, but we can also strive to do better. I've been given a mandate to think big, and I think I need to pass that over, and I think we all need to think big about where we want to be and where we want to go. Our job, my job specifically, is to provide the most up-to-date and leading-edge pre-hospital critical care teaching available. It requires dedication, not just from us, but from every single member of this team. We will provide continued learning, training, but we must all strive for excellence, and that's going to take some buy-in. The patient's our customer, and we must try and deliver the best possible package that we possibly can. So what do we need? We need to think big. We're going to work hard to provide the team with ongoing education, and then that will be part of the pre-hospital simulation curriculum. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to develop new teachings, new styles, and we can just be the best that we can possibly be, I think, and that's been my mandate. I can't do it alone; it needs buy-in, and with the rest of the team, I think we can get there.
And I think it's important for those that are listening to this and those that are going to be participating in this course to realize that this is an international collaboration between the Auckland Trust and between Shock Trauma Air Rescue in Canada, where I come from. And that this experience that we're going to go through is sort of the beta test for this curriculum.
Right.
And that I'm then going to take this curriculum back to STARS and sort of validate it, if you would.
Sure.
So it really, the emphasis here is on, we're trying to develop this and refine it. And it's not going to be perfect from the start. Nothing ever is. But I think, like you said, if we can get everybody to buy into this and everyone to contribute, because as you mentioned, we've got a wealth of experience here at the Trust.
We really do.
And if everybody gets on board with this, I think we can really make it something that's beneficial to not only our crews, but to crews all over the world.
Yeah. We've got the luxury of having a small team. I've come from a large organization, and trying to make a difference there was difficult, to say the least.
Totally.
And we've got a small, dedicated team here. And you know, if we want to go somewhere, it's easy for us to do. All we need to do is make a decision and head in one direction, all of us together, and we will get there. It is going to take some hard work. It's going to take some learning. And some of us, in fact, probably most of us, will be out of our comfort zone, including myself, at some point. But we just need to make sure where we want to head as a team is where we're going to get to. So Andrew, you've been working hard on this development of the new pre-hospital simulation curriculum. Do you want to expand on that? Tell us a bit more about it.
Absolutely. And for some of you, this may be repetitive if you were at our last governance meeting, but for those of you that weren't able to attend, first what I'd like to do is go through the goals of the project and then talk about the actual structure of the project. So, Stefan, we sat and sort of came up with these goals a few weeks back mm-hmm. to try and outline what the basic idea behind this is. And so if I were to list them out, I mean, the first goal for us is to develop a simulation-based educational curriculum that focuses on the needs and challenges encountered in the provision of pre-hospital critical care. And we want to include both clinical and technical skills and non-technical CRM skills, mm-hmm. which are often not easy to do in a single curriculum. A big goal from my standpoint is implementing this curriculum into daily training. I mean, if you look at the world's top sports teams and the world's top military organizations, they train day in, day out.
Every day.
And by doing that, they learn to work together and they become the best that they can be. And I think that's important in our environment as well. A lot of the simulations and things that we're going to do are pretty low occurring, or they occur with a low frequency, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And the idea is that if you train for these things, when that one in a lifetime, you know, situation occurs, you're ready for it. Obviously, as you mentioned before, the overall goal is to improve patient care on a whole. So Steph, I'd like to take a minute now and talk about the actual structure of the curriculum.
Yep.
And so the first thing I'd like to ask is, have you ever heard of a flipped classroom?
I hadn't really heard of it until I started here. When I understood the concept, I found that, you know what, most of us have done this in the past, but I'll get you to explain it.
So the flipped classroom idea is that there's a component of the work, the sort of the classroom learning, if you would, that's done at home. And then when you have completed that portion of the module, you come to work and you, through simulation, help to consolidate that knowledge.
Yep.
And so the way we're going to design this course is sort of based around that idea. So there will be an online sort of modular component and then the simulation education, which takes place at the base.
So the educational package, I mean, I used to listen to podcasts, you know, on the way to work or in the car, you know, while I was doing something. But it can be done at work, right?
Absolutely, it can. I mean, the idea is that you use the podcast to cover the material before you do the sim. When you do that, it's completely up to you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the modular structure and the online component?
Okay, yep.
So the modules, the online modules, are going to be composed of sort of three core areas. The first area is going to be a series of objectives. And these objectives will be the goal, or the learning goals, of each individual module. And the idea is that at the end of the module, you'll have mastered these objectives. A big part of the use of the flipped classroom is the use of a podcast, which is, you guys are, I've obviously figured it out because you're here listening to this today. But what we want to do is use this form to provide the base of the information that we're trying to convey.
And we've got the luxury, Andrew, of having a bunch of experience that we talked about before. We've got medics that have been in the job for a long time. They've seen things. We've got doctors that are specialized in things. So we want to utilize as much of that experience as possible.
I agree. And the assumption with the podcast is that everybody working this job is experienced and has the basics figured out. Mm. And the idea here is that the content of the podcast is just going to take us to the next level.
Where we need to be.
Exactly. And it'll be, you know, the most up-to-date research, the newest toys. I mean, whole blood is a perfect example. We're going to be one of the first trusts to use whole blood.
Exactly.
And so I guess the basic idea is that when you've listened to the podcast, you'll have gotten enough information to be able to come and participate in the sims and then consolidate that information. The last component of the online modules is going to be an online resource library. And this is going to be a fluid animal in that it's going to be constantly growing and changing as new information becomes available. And ultimately, I would like to see everybody at the Trust contributing to this.
Yeah, that would be good.
So if you come across an interesting article online or an interesting podcast or any sort of resource that you think would be beneficial, you can send it off to Steph or myself and we'll add it to the library. And this will be sort of a source of information that you can use to further your knowledge.
Yeah, that'll be absolute gold.
So, Steph, before we get into a discussion about the simulation component to this, why don't you take the listeners through what the next 6 months or the first 6 months of this curriculum are going
to
look
like? Yep, for sure. All right. So I just need to emphasize that there's two components to each thing. There's the technical and non-technical. So that's the technical side of things, is the things we do.
The clinical stuff.
Yeah. And the non-technical is mostly based around CRM. We want to emphasize the CRM component of this as well. Now, okay. Andrew's done a needs assessment.
We did a needs assessment between the STARS group and here to try and identify what people with experience in pre-hospital critical care felt were the most important parts of a solid foundation in pre-hospital critical care.
It was good too. So you came up with six. We're going to cover those in the first 6 months. The first one being airway management. That's the technical side of things. I think the CRM side of things will be human performance limitations, so fatigue and stress. The second one was ventilation strategies and the management of pulmonary emergencies. The CRM component or the non-technical component will be teamwork and communication. Be your big a big package of that. Third month management. Management and circulatory emergencies. I just said package, didn't I?
You did.
You laugh.
I did. Sorry,
okay, that was a bit immature. We'll keep going now. So third one will be management of circulatory emergencies. That's the technical side of things. The non-technical will be leadership. So they're quite different, Andrew. I think for the technical side of things, we want to really focus on using our own equipment,
absolutely,
being familiar with it, pushing the right buttons. The leadership. That's a massive component.
It is, yes. And it's part of what will make this have the maximum benefit is being able to integrate both the technical and non-technical components.
Definitely. Okay. So moving on to the fourth one, special populations. So we're thinking pediatrics and the elderly.
And obesity is a big one as well. I mean, it's not as big a deal here in New Zealand, but back in North America, there's certainly an ongoing issue with obesity.
Yep. The non-technical component of that month will be situational awareness. And we've been covering that for a number of years in our CRM, but we really want to expand on that and give us something new, something up to date.
Absolutely.
The fifth one, environmental emergencies. I guess we're getting into that month of, you know, people are out and about.
They're starting to swim, they're starting to dive.
Yeah, that's right. Again, also in winter, obviously, elderly people fall over. They're exposed to the cold all night long. So we want to be covering a range of things.
To further that, as part of the environmental emergencies bit, we're also going to cover altitude physiology and altitude medicine, because while it's not as big a component of the sort of day-to-day job in and around Auckland for the crews that are flying with STARS, a big proportion of what we do is treating people who are working and playing in the mountains.
Sure.
So it'll be something interesting and new for the guys down here.
Yep.
Much the same as the diving component will be sort of new and interesting, exciting for the guys back in Calgary.
Sure. Okay. The the non-technical side of that will be decision making. The last component that we're going to cover will be major incident management. Now, I mean, I really enjoy that side of things. Once I think most people here are experienced. Once you get your patient care sort of down packed, incident management becomes a new challenge.
And that's certainly an area that as a physician I feel I'm not strong in.
Sure.
We're used to working in a controlled environment in a hospital.
Yeah.
Not out on the roadside where there's unseen dangers lurking around every corner. And while we manage small teams in the hospital, that overall scene oversight is something that I definitely lack in.
Right, okay. We've got a lot of experience on the base when it comes to this, and I'm really looking forward to that that month particularly. The non-technical side will be threat and error management. A huge topic. They're all huge topics, really, Andrew.
And I think, you know, it's going to take a lot to make them good, and we're really hoping that people can buy in and help contribute their experience to each one of these modules, because that's what will make it sort of the best that it can be.
Yeah, there's going to be some great learning at the end of it.
So, Steph, before we clue up this podcast, I think it's important that we take a few minutes and talk about simulation in medical education.
Yeah, it can be intimidating.
It certainly can. I mean, being put on the spot as a team leader and trying to perform in front of your peers, especially in situations that are not comfortable or that are technically or clinically challenging, is a big deal.
Yeah, they totally are. And some of us are maybe a little bit more used to simulation than others. And it does, you know, you get a little bit practiced at it, but you are challenged. Regardless, you're challenged. So I think it's just important to realize that, you know what, it's all in-house. It's not an exam, and it's all for learning. And you're amongst, you know, the team.
Exactly. We're trying to foster a culture of education here. Mm. And I think what you just said, like nobody is being evaluated on this, is very important. And we're trying to learn as a group from the mistakes of the individuals.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Now, one of the things that's a popular concept in simulation education is this notion of the basic assumption.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it until you mentioned it, and I really like it. I'll get you to read it out.
And so the basic assumption states that everyone participating in simulation is intelligent, well-trained, cares about doing their best, and wants to improve.
Yeah.
And if we come into a simulation environment and that's what we're the same, you know, that's the canvas that we're all painting on,
yeah,
it sort of levels that playing field and we all know that we're there to do our best.
Saying that, we do want to push people.
Absolutely. And I think it's an important time now to emphasize that the simulations that we're developing are by no means easy.
Mm.
They are difficult, complex, and stressful clinical situations.
Yeah. You know what? When we were putting them together, there is no point in asking you to put an IV in because, you know what? We're past that level a long time ago.
Exactly. Right? Basic RSI is something that we expect everybody here has a knowledge of.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the technical skills that we do want to develop, but it's really the thinking around it, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. We want to put all the participants in a position where they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not so much so that they pass that threshold for learning, but right on that knife edge where the learning is sort of maximized.
Yeah, yeah. And it might be different for everybody, but the simulation will all still be the same for everybody. We want to have the same clinical learning outcomes, and we're going to the simulation will be the same for everybody. The learning outcomes.
I think the sims will be standardized. Everybody's going to see the same thing.
And we want to create discussions. So the one sim for 1 week, by the end of it, you know, like, so if you and I are talking like, oh, hey, have you done that particular sim? What did you think? I hated it or I loved it or what did you do?
Exactly.
What did you get out of it? We want to create some discussion.
So the learning sort of continually grows even outside of the specific simulation environment. I think that's a great point to make. I guess in terms of the structure of the simulations, basically the idea is that there will be a simulation scenario for each week. So for each module, you'll have somewhere between 2 and 4 scenarios depending on the length of the module. And that for each crew that works during a weekday, Monday to Friday, there will be a time throughout the day where we go through this simulation. At the end of the week, we'll switch to the next simulation. And so this means that you may have multiple opportunities to participate in the same sim. And I think you brought up the point before that I love and that we need to emphasize is that we're a team.
Mm.
There's a doctor and there's a paramedic on the team, but they're not sort of stagnant fixed points, and that both members of the team need to be able to act in the leadership role.
Definitely.
And both members of the team need to be able to act in a support role.
Yeah. So we want to mix that up a little bit, don't we?
Absolutely. So if you know, the first day we sit down and do the sim staff, you're going to be the leader, I'm going to be the support person. 2 days later, we're back on shift together, and we're doing the same sim. Well, now we're going to switch those roles. So yeah. Today, I'm going to lead, and you're going to be the support person.
Yeah.
And it gives us that chance to sort of refine our clinical technical skills, but also to work on that CRM component.
Definitely. So how we kind of see the day going is when you turn up for shift, you get your basic checks done, square yourself away, maybe have breakfast, whatever it is. And it's not up to us to tell you what to do, but we would like to incorporate this straight after brief.
I agree.
So morning brief at 8, once morning brief is at the tail end, isn't finishing, it'll be, hey, you know, what's a simulation? You'll be given a brief about, you know what, you guys are going to the barrier. This is what you'll get, the basic information that you might receive on a pager, and
away you go.
Away
and I
you
think
go.
It's important for us to do that in the ops room because it simulates reality.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
And with that segues perfectly into sort of the next topic that I wanted to discuss, and that's the fiction contract. Simulation education only works if both the people who are providing the education and those who are participating in the simulation buy into it.
Yeah, it's essential.
It's absolutely essential. And we'll be the first ones to say that in trying to provide in situ simulation on the base, establishing that realism can be difficult.
Yep.
But the only way that we can get this to truly work and to optimize the learning is if everybody buys in to what's going on. We accept that the fidelity may not be there, but we're doing our best to make it as real or as interactive as we can.
Yeah.
And in order for you, the participants, to get the most out of this, you need to buy into this as if it's real. You need to treat the mannequins as if they're real people.
Yeah. I think the team will also find that once you get into simulation, as the months progress, you will find it easier. The topics will still be difficult, but you'll get into that whole, okay, this is what it is. This is what I need to ask. You know, I can't see whether the patient's pale or sweaty, but I'll just ask. You'll know, you know, if you want a carotid pulse, you just take that carotid pulse. You take a radial pulse. You'll see that chest going up and down. You need to auscultate. You shouldn't ask. So you'll get into the swing of it.
Exactly. And that's the most important part. If you buy into this, you will learn.
Yeah.
If you don't, you won't.
Look, we're really excited about it. We really want everyone to get into it. Great learning to be had. In fact, that's where we need to be. We need to be continuously learning. We need to improve ourselves. We need to take the service where it hasn't been before. Feedback?
So that's an important part for this. As we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, this project is in evolution. And it's not going to be perfect from the start. And therefore, we are requesting that everyone who participates in this provides us with good, constructive feedback.
Yeah.
We're tough. I got hard skin. You got hard skin. We can take both the positives and the negatives. And the constructive bit is what we're looking for.
Yeah, if there's things that we're missing, if there's things that you guys need, if you think there's things that, you know what, this is not working for me, either we need to tweak things, explain it, or just completely change it.
Absolutely. So I think that brings us to the end of the introductory podcast. Thanks again for listening. I'm Andrew.
I'm Stefan.
You'll be hearing more from us in the weeks to come, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully without the wisecracks this time.
And the wisecracks won't make it the best.
All right.
Take care.
Signing off.
Bye-bye.